So I have a special interview this morning with Nick Rushdi Hassan. He is a Duluthian, a professor at UMD in very confusing things about management of computers and business, and also the board of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports. And we are here to talk about Ramadan today. So thank you so much for being with me, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I know it's not, I think it's not your first time on the air, but it's always a little bit difficult when we call in and you don't have quite the same feel for the station, but it's still really fun to do these interviews. And let's see, Ramadan is something that many people in Two Harbors, I think, have probably heard of, but don't know a lot about. And so
right.
I think it would be really fun to just share with listeners, you are a practicing Muslim. Like, what does that look like? First, let's talk a little bit about just being a Muslim in general. I know that I have visited been to some potlucks, met some really friendly people, and just seen a little bit of how you worship. And I think it'd be really interesting for people to know a little bit more about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm actually very, very happy to hear that people at least know of Ramadan. It wasn't the case, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Nobody right, that's probably
Ramadan
true.
Before. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the word is going around, and it's interesting because the practice of fasting, I'm sure people are familiar with the practice of fasting, but the way the fasting is done is a little different. Actually, there's a lot different. So,
yes.
So it'll be interesting to say. Anyway, so you asked how it is to be a Muslim. I would say that it's actually amazing to be a Muslim in America, and that sounds counterintuitive, especially with the climate these days, but it is. And the reason for that is because in many ways, the society in America is really quite Islamic. And the reason for that is there was once a huge mufti. Mufti is like a person high up there in the religious, you know, title there. And he visited America in the 1950s. And he commented after he returned back to Egypt. He said that I went to a country, he says, where I saw more Islam but no Muslims. And I came back to my own country, which has many Muslims but very little Islam.
So interesting.
Comment, exactly. So he, you know, he noticed the order and the rule of law, the cleanliness that people practice, the, you know, the principles and all those things are near and dear to Islam. And that's why he mentioned that when he visited America. This is 1950s, mind you. So that was his comment. Anyway, so that's why I'm saying that living in America is really a privilege. And I've been here now 22 years, so I should know.
Yeah, wow. Wonderful. And tell us now more about your community, your religious community, and the practice of Ramadan.
Yes. So we are a very small community here in Duluth. We probably have about, I don't know, 10 families maybe. But a lot of students, obviously, because of the university here, Minnesota Duluth here in Duluth. But Ramadan it's kind of hard to explain Ramadan without going into the context, into the background a little bit. So I'm going to take a bit of time.
Absolutely.
To explain that.
Give us context. Yep.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that Islam is an Eastern religion, you know, something that this person, Muhammad, in the middle of the desert somewhere, invented in the 7th century. And people forget that actually most of the prophets come from the desert. So
right.
it's not really something weird. But anyway, so Islam has always been the message from God that we believe in. And that's the reason, that's why it's not named after a person, you know, like Christianity, for example, is named after Christ.
Okay.
It's not named after a tribe, like Judaism is named after a tribe called Judah.
Yes.
And it's not like named after an area like Hinduism. It's actually named after the Hindus Valley in India.
Oh.
And the Hindus don't name themselves Hinduism. You know, the British gave that name to them. So, so Islam is named after a concept. And Islam means to surrender oneself to God, just like how the rest of the universe surrenders to God. So with that in mind, all the great sages, all the great prophets in history, in fact, all the prophets in the Bible and the Old Testament brought the same message of surrender for all of mankind, not just for the Jews, not just for the Christians. If you read the Quran, which is the our we believe to be the final message.
Yes.
You know, if you read the Quran, the message is for all mankind. Just like Jesus, peace be upon him, came bringing the Bible to confirm the message of the Torah, the Quran came to confirm the message of all the previous books, including the Torah and the Bible. And by the way, the Bible is called Injil in the Quran, and that's where the word evangelical comes from, Injil. So that's the Arabic term of it. But anyway, more importantly, that the Quran came to, you know, to actually correct some of the things that crept into the previous books. That, you know, basically, if you read the Quran, you'll find the Quran defending the honor of the prophet against all the terrible things that's said about them.
Yeah.
And that goes the same with the tradition of fasting. Fasting actually has been a practice of all previous people.
Yes.
In fact, if you read the Bible, you read the Torah, and of course you read the Quran, you'll find that anytime an event is related to God revealing to mankind, it involves fasting.
Yeah.
So yeah. For example, in Deuteronomy, the story of Moses,
yes,
going up to the mount to receive the tablets, and it said in Deuteronomy, it says, you know, I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. So
yeah,
from there we learn that Moses fast the same way we fast, the Muslims fast, which is we don't eat and we don't drink water, which is something that a lot of people say, wait a minute, you don't drink?
Right.
That's kind of unhealthy, isn't it?
Right.
Well, actually, that's kind of the point. The point of fasting is to, you know, sort of repress or control the, you know, your bodily desires for food and drink. And make your body tired so that you can focus more on the spiritual side of ourselves.
Hmm.
And so the spiritual becomes stronger and your, you know, the physical is kind of put under control during Ramadan.
So interesting. Yeah.
That's what Ramadan is about. And there's another narration which now the way we take sources is that we authenticate them. And this one is not particularly authenticated, so I have to say a caveat here. But apparently there's a narration out there that says that the Torah was revealed during the sixth night of Ramadan. The Bible, the Injil, was revealed during the 13th night of Ramadan. And then the Psalms of David, which was the book sent to that David brought, was revealed on the 18th of Ramadan. And the Quran is revealed on the 24th night of Ramadan. Now, of course, this is not, we don't take this too seriously because it could be, it's not as authenticated as the other narration. But anyway, the point is that fasting is divine. Fasting is has to do with the practice of getting us back closer to God and nurturing our spiritual side instead of, you know, so that we can cleanse ourselves from all the things that we've gone through throughout the year with, you know, all the worldly things that we kind of get buried in. And that's basically what fasting does. And it certainly does that. You know, people sometimes are afraid that they don't look forward to Ramadan because it's tough. And I'm not saying that it's easy.
Yeah.
But fasting for 30 days, for one thing, you're definitely going to lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
for sure.
But
if you do it the right way too, there's another narration that says, you know, you're supposed to also control your other urges. Like, for example, there's another narration. This one is authenticated. It says that if you fast, but then you don't control your mouth, you don't control what you say, you don't, you know, control your bad behavior,
yeah,
then your fasting means nothing. Hmm. That means, you know, you basically defeat the purpose of fasting by not drinking and eating, and yet you do all these bad things. So that's the beauty of the month of fasting.
Yeah, it's so interesting to think of how there are so many things, you know, that we assume. I mean, it seems like most Christian holidays are accompanied by great abundance of food,
right,
and the whole getting together as a family, and just the idea of sort of deprivation as a spiritual practice is something that Islam really brings to the modern world. And it sounds like you see it really as in some ways bringing together all the religions, or sort of returning to the original purposes and roots. Of...
Yeah, we're trying to return to the original message that was brought by the prophets. And in fact, Abraham, throughout history, Abraham was the one that, because we people know that, you know, they always say that, you know, the three religions, the father of three religions is Abraham and all that.
Yeah.
Of course, we believe that he's a Muslim, and he actually coined the term Muslimin. Muslim was the one that he coined. Of course, before him, there were other prophets also that were Muslims, you know, beginning from Adam, peace be upon him. But it was him that, when civilization really grew at a pace that we're kind of more familiar with, you know, populations, that's why he's in the middle of the Mesopotamian, you know, valley, the cradle of civilization, was where the message was or grew. But yeah, so, and he, what he did, and this, a lot of people don't know this, he also reestablished the center of worship, which is, of course, in Mecca today. He took his son, Ishmael, to that location. And not that he built the Kaaba, the cube, the house of God in the middle of the desert there, where, of course, eventually Muhammad was born in that area, but that he reestablished, or he raised the foundations that was put together by Adam when he first arrived on Earth. So this is all connected. All of this is all, and that connection is lost to, you know,
yes,
to the people. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Nick, we're running out of time, but I really want to at least ask a couple quick questions about the actual practice of Ramadan.
Right.
It is during the daylight hours, so it just dramatically differs depending on what time of year. So tell us, talk a little bit about that, and also about when you do eat, is it different? Like, I know there are a lot of gatherings, and sort of the practice of community seems to intensify during Ramadan. So just talk a little bit about that, too, if you would.
So we fast from dawn till dusk, till the sunset. And, of course, that changes throughout the year. And because we follow the lunar calendar, which is what the correct calendar to do that, just like the Jews do, it moves throughout the year. So in the summer, it gets pretty challenging because then sundown is like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And you have to wake up in the morning at 3 a.m. to get a little breakfast to get ready for the rest of the day. But in the winter, then it changes to... So that's when it changes, which is also good because then you experience different times of the year. So
right.
That happens in Ramadan, yep. And of course, in Ramadan itself, the practice is in the daytime you fast, and in the evenings, at the nighttime, you pray. So during Ramadan, you have a special prayer called Taraweeh, which basically means you stand up and you listen to the scripture. And back to the idea of getting yourself closer to God and abandoning worldly pursuits and cleansing yourself. So Ramadan, during the nights, we do that, and we do that for 30 days, and we wait for that final 10 days, especially because in the final 10 days, there's a special night where God Almighty promises that if you are to be able to worship in that single night, which is called the Night of Power, it's called Laylatul Qadr, your worship is equivalent to the worship of 1,000 months.
Hmm.
So, and people are always looking for that. And suddenly you see, there's some donations that say it's on the 27th night and so on.
Hmm.
It's purposely not given to us to encourage us to do it throughout the month, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, that happens. And of course, at the end of Ramadan, we celebrate. We don't beat our chest and say, hey, we did it.
Yeah.
We thank God for being able to allow us to do it. And we celebrate with a huge festival called Eid, which basically means celebrate.
Mm.
So Eid is called Eid al-Fitr, which is the celebration of the self, meaning that you're able to overcome yourself. And we get together with family, we have a feast, and we visit people that we've not visited for years, you know, that kind of thing, bringing society together, communities together. And that's huge. And of course, this year, it's sad this year because of what's happening in Gaza and Palestine, and people are literally starving to death as we speak. And So it's a little different this year. The celebration Ramadan especially is a little different this year because of that.
Yes. You know, we are absolutely out of time. I would love to keep talking. There's so much to learn from you, but we need to be done. So thank you so much. I'm speaking with Nick
Thank you so much,
Rushdie Hassan. He is a professor at UMD and also a leader in the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports, the ICTP, which you can find online. So thank you again so much and have a meaningful rest of your Ramadan.
Yeah, and same to you. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Nick Rushdie Hassan.